quick input from KPMG. Let me welcome Rana Panidam from Kumisukwan. Firstly, let me welcome Mr. Khatir, the Shantari Wisdom Council, Africa with your team. Can you define how you distribute your labor?
I've heard the noise.
after a while I'm going to strike that off. So the topic, kind of the plate, you may proceed on the version. Thank you for that. Thank you very much. When I was still on the some economic impact on the 2010 FIFA World Cup, the Commission recommends that you ensure the sustainability of location-specific legal effects, because these legal benefits accrue to the host cities, and such legal benefits be funded from the own revenue of those host cities. So in terms of our comment on this issue, we got about 3 points. So the first is that practice from 2007-08 municipal budget indicates that some host cities budget will certainly be impacted upon by the 2010 stadium and related infrastructure and related expenditure. For example, some municipalities have already increased their property rates, their charges in particular on property rates and tariffs to counterfund the expenditure requirements, including supporting infrastructure. And the city of Johannesburg and Ekurhuleni are a case in point already. Secondly, at this stage, the DPRC does not agree with the recommendation that the legal benefits be exclusively funded from what it is owned by them, especially in light of the fact that such legal benefits have not yet been costed. Thus, the impact of this recommendation is not unknown at this stage. So until we know actually what those implications will be and how fundamental will they be, it is difficult. We think it is premature for us as the DPRC to align ourselves with that recommendation. And lastly, as a matter of principle, any costs that accrue to a host municipality must not compromise the provision of basic services by that municipality or threaten the municipality's financial viability. So those are the points. On the issue of the review of the financing of school infrastructure and education outcomes, the education the commission recommends that effective coordination of planning for the various provincial and municipal grants be instituted urgently to ensure optimal outcomes of school infrastructure investment. Our comments are as follows. The department agrees with this recommendation. For water and sanitation, roads and the municipal infrastructure grant, the municipal infrastructure grant allocates funding directly to municipalities, and planning for school infrastructure should ideally be done as part of the municipal integrated development planning process, of which the Department of Education should be party thereto, like other stakeholders. And secondly, the DPRC acknowledges that there is room for improvement in terms of these processes. For example, active participation of sector departments in the IDP processes. The provincial infrastructure grant should also be aligned with the IDP priorities of municipalities. Lastly, the department proposes that the commission advise government on how such effective coordination can be realized. So what we are saying here, we are saying that there is a further work which the commission might need to embark upon to concretize this recommendation. On the issue of the financing of the roads and transport infrastructure, the commission findings are that part of the municipal access road system are among the most poorly maintained in the world, denying communities access to opportunities. And we comment as follows. The department agrees with this finding, but is concerned that the commission does not make any recommendation on how to address this issue from a municipal funding perspective. So we hope this perhaps might be part of some of the things which the commission might carry forward in terms of its advice. The general contention is that local government funds maintenance from own budgets and the equitable share. However, practice indicates that resource allocations for maintenance in general is poor. The local government equitable share the development component, which is part of the formula which is in place now but has not yet been activated.
At the moment, the department is exploring on how the activation of that development component can be used to also assist with the issue of the road infrastructure, also relating to maintenance as well. On the issue of the financing of the road and infrastructure, again, the commission recommends that a review of the provincial equitable share considers provincial road expenditure needs that will enable them to fund their maintenance needs. And we comment as follows. The department agrees that road maintenance in general should be given realistic attention. However, there is no indication of how this ought to be implemented in the commission's document. However, the department notes that the commission does not, in its assessment and recommendation, address municipal road maintenance specifically. It is proposed that the commission make proposals on how to address the issue of the funding of maintenance of municipal roads, especially access roads for those municipalities that have low fiscal capacity and are not able to fund such maintenance from their own budget. And in this regard, the rural-based municipalities are the ones which we are much more concerned about. On the issue of the framework for considering market-based instruments to support environmental fiscal reform in South Africa, recommendations based on the National Treasury's draft environment policy paper. Based on that, the Commission raises the point that there may be a case for earmarking environmental revenues or royalties to the lowest level of government where environmental damage takes place. We are saying that the impact of environmental damage may have significant cost implications on local government, and that in principle, any revenues from such taxes, if implemented, should be shared with or distributed appropriately to this year if there is such a damage. Again, the Commission makes a suggestion that to clarify roles and responsibilities in this case, that an institutional table indicating the sphere of government responsible for specific environmental problems and the related tax instruments be published. The policy review process on provincial and local government, to which the ministry and the department is embarking upon behalf of government, may contribute to the context of such a matrix. The department is concerned that publishing such a table prior to the conclusion of that work on the review of the white papers on provincial and local government may preempt the outcome of such a review. So in a nutshell, we are not in disagreement with what is being said, but we are saying that there is a caution that we should not preempt some of the processes underway. This one will skip it. Then, fiscal implications of the redemarcation of provincial boundaries. The Commission indicates that affected municipalities were not compensated in light of the reallocations of functions as a result of the boundary changes. And our comments are as follows. With the redemarcation process, any powers and function changes were dealt through the changes to powers and functions in the local government equitable share, as well as the municipal infrastructure grant formula that directed that the relevant funds to the affected municipality. So that is how we dealt with those issues at the municipal level. However, we also agree with the recommendations by the Commission that a once-off allocation by way of a transitional fund should be made available to deal with some of these instances. And we are saying that the issue of Matatiele is a case in point. And it might be that also, as we talk about the review of the provincial and local government white papers, if there would be a need for some of the things, that recommendations would have to take it into consideration as well going forward. In terms also of the fiscal implications of the demarcations on provincial boundaries, the Commission recommends that changes to boundaries of sub-national governments be aligned with the financial years of systems applicable to both provincial and local governments. The Department agrees with this recommendation. In fact, the Local Government Laws Amendment Bill, to which we have already done a briefing to the Portfolio Committee on Provincial and Local Government the day before yesterday, provides for any changes to powers and functions at local government level to be effective as of the start of the next municipal financial year. And in that regard, the various pieces of legislation have are already being aligned to this. In terms of conclusion, we would like the Select Committee to note the following, that the ongoing work undertaken and advice provided by the Financial and Fiscal Commission on various issues pertaining to provinces and local governments is appreciated by the Department, and that the Department looks forward to firm recommendations by the Commission on some of the matters that still require research to be undertaken. We thank you.
Thank you, sir. That was very much interesting. Questions, comments, attitudes? Madam Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. On page 7, fiscal implications of the redemarcation. It was stated that the department agrees with the one-source allocation using transitional funds that here that we came to the point. I just wanted to know when. You say a one-source allocation, but from what Mr. Clearman was saying the other day, there are problems where changes have already been made and there's been no compensation. So when is this envisaged to take place, and how is that going to be effective? Because it is, when the changes take place, you've actually got a remedy in place immediately. There's not a backlog. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Clearman,
I'll just follow up on your question. That's one of the things that's for informing and clarity. I like it. No. I'm talking in terms of the re-demarcation. Well, what happens when an area is people voted in another province, and yet the province which they did not vote in claims that province was in government. Case in Shai now is the Northwest Northern case, the Ikirele County. How does the department deal with that particular matter? I clearly purposely left out the case and whether it's in the scope of the government. So, this is one of the clarities that one needs to advise the two municipalities. The Ikirele. So you need that we are dealing with law commission. What I'm saying, if you look at the Kirillin, you have found Ishtat, which is in the northern state, but if you cross the street, that area, those people, the understanding was that it's under northwest. But when we went for local government elections, those people, they voted in the northern state. And there is a distinction between the two, the Greater Taung municipality and the Pokwane municipality, where Taung is saying that particular area force was in northwest, and then Pokwane is saying that area is falling was in the northern state. How do you advise, because the understanding is that Northwest is giving services there, that this area belongs to Northwest. So what he's saying, you know, these people, they voted in our province, and the IEC has the printout that these people voted in the Northwest. How do you deal with that particular demarcation technique?
Okay. There are issues of the reality of law. There's also the reality of the sentiment. Dispute is on the basis of the sentiment between the two areas. I think that's the issue that will be resolved by the department. Any other questions? Mr. Fogart.
Thank you, Chairman. This system normally works well in GPLC today. There are problems. I'm not sure if there's something that they're hiding from us. I think that GPLC becomes very interesting as a comment. If you start with the very first one around the social economic impact of 2010, I think that as a committee would agree with the comment. However, there are no words. I would love to hear the DMT coming with a sort of a counter proposal. I think that the sentiment that says already we know that there's many of those municipalities. If you take your Nelson Mandela Bay, for instance, we know that they are already very stressed in terms of the budget. But what is the what to call it, a proposal? So how do you deal with that? I'm not sure if I'm here to say. But there's other comment. If around the next one, on review of financing of school infrastructure and education. Sure, your comment, you were talking about sentiment. Now, let us be practical. I think that the recommendation of FSC comes from the fact that today, municipality works until up to the day that you work. And there's no there. From there, they say somebody must take the responsibility. Now, it just proposes that FSC advise government on how this coordination should be done of the ICTs as well. And I suppose that the DPMC is part of government. In fact, the DPMC is the custodian of the ICT process. I would expect that maybe the DPMC would be the one that really making a clear perception around that. But, yeah, in terms of how exactly this could be done, you know, because I agree with the issue that the DLC is raising MIG allocation, not what we call it, covering your school, what we call it, infrastructure. But are there transitional arrangements that the DLC would like to put on the table? Meanwhile, the investigation is in done. The third one, Chair, on financing of roads and transport infrastructure.
Thank you.
government implications coming from local government implications. So it's very interesting. I would like to ask an almost similar question as to my friend from Guapatlo, but from a different angle. Chair, I think the issue of the IDPs is well documented and well pronounced by the PFG. But if one combines it with the issue of road planning in municipalities, not only the maintenance, especially the planning, from where I'm seated, I have information that says yes, we do not as yet in this country have any comprehensive planning of roads within municipalities, where as part of the IDP we should be having the IGP. My information says only one place, one municipality, that is Etegui. It's also in the initial state. They don't have the functional IGP. That causes a serious agent pressing challenge for planning access road for the 2010 study and many other future functioning of the road system. Should we now be going on an ad hoc basis making access road, or how are we going to make sure that this the integrated transport plan, they dovetail with the IDP over a longer term, longer period of time? I would like just to have IPLG comment on this, or whether do they have plans to assist in this regard. As I see it in my view, it's a constraining factor in terms of planning for the 2010 stadia access road. Thank you.
Mr. Kuyaman, it is very short. The Honorable Sukuni wanted to raise it at you. maintenance of municipality roads. No. I can't understand why is the department so soft on it. Well, they should have seized the opportunity. Seeing that FLC is not making any recommendation, they should have agreed, because if you look at page 4, the department agrees with this finding. But it is concerned that the FSC does not make any recommendation. He said they must come up with recommendations. I think that particular opportunity to recommend what is actually supposed to happen, seems that the FSC has not made any such recommendation. He will be able to assist us, because that is an outcry that has been there, and which the department is aware that the municipality, in terms of maintenance of their roads, there is no fund, they don't have the capacity. So there should be any particular recommendation that the fund will be made available. There should be in a form of a grant or whatsoever proposal that they will make in order to assist municipalities to have maintenance in terms of their roads. Can you have comment on this?
Yes, if I could
designate
for an update. The department said after that is yes, GT. Oh, I hear no comments about GT. That's why I'm asking, that's why there's a concern with Mr. Africa, if they are still GT. I don't know if the province, I'm sure. Your father, the president, which of the country, if you help you with the road, every position was the problem. But I thought that you also make some kind of comment in terms of the roads, other than what the government policies as well. Because Now, I would have expected them to accept the advice that the mother that they want to give to FSC, because the provinces tell us that they are provincial what they call the road budget and not what they call it the cabinet official. And therefore this was the current opportunity. I agree with you, say that the FSC only confines itself to the municipality. So
thank you, Chair. Thank you, Committee. I'm going to ask my colleagues to come now, obviously, coming in again as well. I'll ask Lady Mr. Peter to start, Mr. Madison to start with some of the comments and questions we need to overcome from the Mr. Madison. We can start there and then we'll come to some of the infrastructure, some finance, and all of that. Thanks.
And it's definitely DG on the back.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, I think there was two questions. There was one important question around the funding for the municipalities that were part of the re-demarcation process. Now, there was a proposition, a proposal by both provinces and municipalities. Just after the implementation of the two acts, the Constitutional Amendment 12 and the Cross Boundary Repeal Act, to actually engage the relevant authorities to establish a transitional fund. So the request from both the provinces and some of the municipalities. Now, we had some engagements with National Treasury on this matter, and while there was no consensus reached at that point, a route that was taken was to adjust the local provincial attributable share in terms of the new population shifts and responsibilities, and also to adjust the local government attributable share. And our observation is that the equitable shares have been growing over the number of years from the previous allocations in 2005, 2006, 2006, 2007. The actual allocations have been growing. However, as a department, when we reported both to the PCC, the local government MINMEC, and the cabinet committees on GNA, we did propose very strongly that we would continue, despite the adjustments in the equitable share and the provincial equitable share, to pursue the proposal for a once-off or additional allocation of funds. Now, where are we at the moment? At the moment, we've established a subcommittee under the IMC, which is the Interministerial Committee, which deals with principally MIG and other issues, to further coordinate the effort from provinces with respect to a request to provinces made at the subcommittee that they must, by the end of this month, provide us with real financial needs, not a wish list, but actual financial needs of those particular municipalities that were previously affected by the demarcation. So we are waiting eagerly the input by the end of the month when the subcommittee meets. And at this meeting, the National Treasury was present, so there's general consensus that DPLG and National Treasury will work together to consolidate a proposal for additional allocation. And we would welcome, in that respect, a sort of once-off allocation, although there was suggestion by National Treasury that we should also begin, we should rather just look at an overall increase in the local government equitable share and maybe media allocation. But in the proposals and the contribution from various stakeholders in our report on the cross boundary, some stakeholders pointed that we must be more specific with the need of each of those affected municipalities. So that's where we are. So there is progress, and we expect that we will sort this matter out in the coming 2 to 3 months. With respect to demarcation and where people vote, where originally voted in another province and are now find themselves under a different province, that's a very tricky legal question. But I would venture to say that we have been assured through reports from the provinces that they have fully and absolutely taken over jurisdiction or supervision of the new areas that fall into each province. Because that has been designated and passed by law. The two laws still stand. We would then also begin to propose that because the two laws, the amendment, charge amendment, and as well as the cross-boundary appeal laws already realigned the municipalities, that it would in a sense be ultra vires, the arrangements around voting that existed in the past. In other words, the voters would be, there would be population that would be part of the new municipality would fall into the new province. We must also take cognizance of the fact that on the basis of the population shift, that the equitable share or the provincial equitable share will also be adjusted. So these new voters who are in the new have been taken into account for additional funds to be given in the provincial equitable share. I do admit it's a tricky legal question, but I would think that also they also take cognizance of the fact that the next round of local elections around the bend, and of course it will smooth out and sort out the issues there. I don't know whether I've adequately answered that question, but we can pursue this matter between the committee and DBRG further. I think I've dealt with the two most important questions there, Chairperson and Chairperson DB.
Alright. Firstly, Shia is a follow-up. Mrs. Wilkinson is a follow-up. But Shia, what do we like to do? Mr. Fearman has received a letter. It looks like they are trying to resolve this matter. I'm not sure what their approach is in terms of resolving the matter. He just gave me the letter. I've not really asked him the details. So I do want you to have a look further in terms of this matter. As the department, as I was saying, there are two realities here that must be dealt with. First reality is that one of people wanting to do what they want to do. The second one is the law itself. So how do you tend to those things? Madam Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. I was just wanting to ask whether we could have some information after that meeting, whether you should report that to the committee to let us know what happened.
Don't worry about that one, we will know. Don't worry about that. We will surely know. It's this committee that knows all of those things. I don't even say follow up. That's not a follow up. Right. Any other questions? I mean, any other responses?
Thank you. There were questions linked to the planning coordination mechanism and resuming as an example, which is around road infrastructure and port infrastructure. So I think there are responses that need to be dealt with in that regard. But then secondly, there's also there were questions around maintenance as well. I think those are the two specific sets of issues that I'd like to ask the communication to start into that. And my colleagues
we have been asked whether it is a GLG or TGLG. It is a TGLG, haven't you realized that when we start responding to the things, we are not limited ourselves to issues around local government?
And we have said at the outset that we are not going to respond to all the issues which are raised in the document, because some of those things require additional funding. We have taken note, for example, there are issues around the issue of the vertical and horizontal division of the national rate revenues among provinces and local government. And we have taken note of those issues, but we didn't want to come with them pertinent at this stage by way of a presentation, because some of those things still require digesting and also for some of the things to be clear as to how they need to be carried out. It is one thing to recommend certain things without being clear, so some of the things need to be clear. On the issues of the roads that we appear to be concerned more with municipal roads, it might be that when we started moving into the other two slides, we might have spoken more about municipal access roads. But our first opening would have made it clear that we said that we agree with the issue of road maintenance in general, and when we said in general, we had in mind both provinces and local governments. And one of the questions which the Honourable Member was raising as to why don't we start pronouncing on these issues as the TPLG and asking the Commission itself to make explicit practical recommendations is a fact that when we deal with some of these issues on funding, it cuts across the TPLG and National Treasury as well, to some extent. And to an extent that it was an independent body like the Commission, which does not belong to any of those departments, it assists us when we deliberate on these issues. So that is where we were looking at, not to say necessarily that we should not do anything, but all what we're saying is that it assists for these two departments when they look at the things, if they know exactly what is the actual recommendation, not just for a problem statement, but to come with a solution, because we've got a lot of problem statements in the country. But what we are interested now is how do we resolve those issues, in order for us to see whether we are very practical or not, because some of the issues people are aware of those. But those are the opening things I wanted to say. I don't know if my colleagues have got some other questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to touch on the issue of that was raised about the how do you deal the issue around 2010 and some of the issues around the budgets of municipalities and how those budgets of municipalities are being challenged by some of the things that they had to take, infrastructure issues that they had to deal with. In the presentation, we talked about the fact that municipalities are in a catch-22 situation in that instance, and the Honourable Member suggested that we perhaps make a recommendation on how to deal with these things. Some of these things relate to the fact that because government committed certain funding specifically for the stadia and some of the infrastructure that is related to the stadia, once municipalities began to work on these things, it was discovered that some of these things required additional budgetary allocation. And municipalities at that stage had to find the money from somewhere, and of course issues around rate increases and tariff increases come in. We did not make a recommendation because some of these things we have been discussing them with municipalities together ourselves with the National Treasury, and that's where some of these things were raised, especially the city of Ekurhuleni raised this issue and talked about how much they had to invest in terms of maintenance of certain roads, access roads, to stadia and other related infrastructure. However, this is a bigger issue that has a lot more, which is why we refrain from making a recommendation. And touching on what Mr. Manike said, that we needn't make a recommendation in the absence of information. It touches on other issues around the fiscal framework for local government and some of the things that are unfolding around that fiscal framework, which includes some of the issues related to what the new fiscal powers and functions bill might bring about,
And any other funding recommendations around municipalities had to do with, we refrain from making a recommendation specifically because there isn't enough information on that specific issue. I think Mr. Manike touched on the issue around the provincial roads. The FSC is correct that a number of provincial roads are in good condition, but there are certain others that are that are not in good condition. What we do say around provincial roads is that we agree with the FSC that avenues for assisting provinces to deal with maintenance should be sought, and they make recommendations around the provincial equitable share, and we certainly agree with that. It's just that we iterate the municipal issue because nothing was said, or the embassy was silent on that issue. On road planning and how this is being undertaken in terms of the IDP, the ideal, and I think the DPLC has been working significantly with local government and trying to bring in specific sector departments around those issues, around the issue of the IDP. The ideal that DPLG would like and the ideal that has been pushed in the IDP process is that planning should take place in a holistic manner so that road issues, school issues are part of what is what ultimately becomes the municipal IDP. Of course, we don't have a perfect situation and some of these things do not work out the way that we would like them to work out. But obviously, there has to be, as the FSC said, there has to be, I think coordination needs to be improved, and those are some of the issues that we would like to look at and ensure happens. And that's what we were alluding to in our comments then.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Just want also to comment on the two issues. The first issue is on education infrastructure, and the second issue is on road maintenance, particularly the municipal roads. In terms of the school infrastructure, I mean, what we are saying as, from the PLD side, we say currently the infrastructure funds are being allocated directly to a particular municipality. And we workshopped a number of departments during 2005 and 2006 in terms of how can they participate in the IDP process to make sure that the infrastructure for schools, hospitals, clinics can also be catered. Because if the Department of Education does it, it's not participating in the IDP process. Definitely, the issues around school infrastructure are going to be addressed. So the money is sitting at the municipalities at the moment. We have developed guidelines with regard to that. And I think going forward, as part of ongoing work, we have to intensify the workshopping of sectors so that they should also get their projects to be catered for in the municipal IDP. Because municipalities obviously will spend money on what is in the IDP. And what is outside the IDP is not going to get priority. So currently, that arrangement is in place. With regard to road development and maintenance, I think the main challenge that we are facing is the road classification, which the Department of Transport still needs to finalize. Now, currently, you cannot maintain what you don't know who owns. So you have to know the ownership in terms of municipal roads. So, however, from the PLD side, we supported a number of municipalities in terms of asset management plans, because you need to have asset registers so that you can maintain the infrastructure that you have. So I think that is what I can say in terms of maintenance. Regarding the development, we also have a serious challenge in terms of the information. If you want to know how much we need in this country to deal with the road backlog, we don't have that information. Currently, the MIG formula uses the informal settlement as the determinant to determine municipal road funding. But obviously, that will then look at the internal street. The access roads are not part of that. And that's why a lot of money is being allocated to metro because of the internal the settlement. But I think the Department of Transport is working on these issues. Once they finalize the information in terms of classification, in terms of backlog, will then be able to be in a position to deal with the challenges. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. With your permission, I would just like to comment on a range of matters, but just supplementing what my colleagues have said. In respect of the first issue that was raised around the motivation in agreement with the DKC, the motivation for some type of a one-off allocation, I think it's important, maybe, for the department to say that from our perspective, the kind of policy imperative that informs our support for that kind of recommendation is one that says when we did away with the former cross-boundary municipality, what we were in fact saying and what we were trying to do, we were trying to put our communities in a better position than what they were before, prior to the kind of doing away with the former cross-boundary areas. So I think what you're also saying, Chairperson, is that when we effected these amendments, we certainly picked up some shocks, we picked up some challenges in respect of resources that were not immediately in place. Some of the municipalities that have now absorbed additional communities, and we think that even in retrospect, there is still a case to be made to in a very forceful manner, try and redirect some resources towards some of these areas. So I'm just explaining that in the policy rationale and why we would agree with that kind of recommendation. That's the first point. Coming to 2010 and why we were expressing the kind of view that we were expressing with regard to why the host cities should not exclusively bear the cost for some of these legacy projects and some of the methods pertaining to 2010. Again, I think it's important to indicate that our understanding is that 2010 is really a national project and a national priority. And if you proceed from that basis, then it is our view that national and provincial governments need to come to the party in ensuring that certain factions, certain legacy projects are indeed resource adequacy in a manner that complements, and I'm using the word very deliberately, in a manner that complements what the host city should also try and bring to the party. But the point we're really making is that we are not entirely correct to make this the responsibility exclusively of the host city concession. The third and second last point that I'd like to just comment on here is the issue of the coordination mechanism, and I think my colleague has probably sufficiently commented on this. But again, I think it's important to indicate the policy thinking, the emerging policy thinking of the department, and also what I think needs to emerge within the executive of the national government. What we are saying about integrated development planning and integrated development plans is that unlike when we conceived the IDP in 2000, the Municipal Systems Act, when we said that the IDP is the instrument of a local municipality, we are now saying that the IDP must actually graduate to become the basis for statewide planning. And what that means in practice, it means that national government and provincial government need to find their priorities expressed within local municipal IDP. But if you take that as a point of departure, then clearly it begins to say that provincial priorities, national priorities, grants of national provincial governments need to find a way of aligning themselves with municipal IDPs. So I think it's important, again, to clarify that kind of policy perspective. But in making some of the concrete recommendations that already we are beginning to experiment with regard to coordination, the department for the last couple of years, honorable members, we have been convening something that we call IDP hearings. And what we do is we go to every single province, we meet with every single district and responsible municipality, and we engage them on the IDP. But when I say we go there as national governments, and we invite all national departments to be part of that process. And all provincial departments are also invited to be part of that process. So the point I'm trying to make is that we start to experiment with this kind of coordination instrument, and already
interest and a commitment to participate in this process and which they have not. And clearly some of the departments in question have not come to the party in the way that we would like them to come to the party. So on the matter of the coordination chair system, we have recently, I think in 2005, we passed the governmental relations framework act. This act, in our view, again, is a very important piece of legislation that affords us the institutional machinery to better coordinate some of these planning matters that we're talking about. We have such known as the PCC at the national level. At the provincial level, we have something called the Provincial Coordinating Forum. At the district level, we have a similar structure. The point I'm trying to make is that we are of the view that we already have coordination infrastructure in place that we think government needs to give much more attention to by way of implementation and better coordinating our work. Then I thought that the final point that I should make in respect of access roads and the importance of that matter is that we are working closely with the presidency and the policy unit in respect of work that they are doing regarding second economy intervention. And the point that has emerged from the work, the presidency of which we are participating as a team member, the point has arisen very sharply that if government collectively gives greater attention to addressing the matter, the challenge of access roads in particular, there are huge benefits that will accrue to local communities, to local municipalities, provinces and the country. And again, this is part of the reason why my colleague said in his presentation that this is why we're exploring ring-fencing funding and part of the development component for the local government to share precisely because of the benefits that we think are associated with this greater attention to the access roads. Thank you.
All right. I think the first thing we must do, maybe going forward, we must find a way of criminalizing any activity that is not done within the framework of the ICT. I'm reading this in line with Section 19 of DORA, in respect of what the ESCOM must do, for example. It says here, ESCOM Holdings, 1901, the Transferring National Officer must ensure that ESCOM Holdings Limited, implementation of the National Electrification Program within a municipality, is aligned with the Integrated Development Plan, prepared in accordance with the Municipal Systems Act of that municipality. I think we need to do this. I'll tell you why. I think we must regard any project that is done outside this framework as wasteful spending or irregular spending. And therefore somebody must be held responsible for those things. I'm reading this because we know, for instance, that many provincial projects are always parachuted. As we sit here now, we know of 60 clinics that were built in one province. And there are no roads leading to the clinics. I'm not going to talk about the bridges, you know, that it's leading with me for this problem. And clearly, so those kinds of things I think must be dealt with a bit firmly now. And I'm just saying maybe, as part of what you might want to do from GTLC, as we deal with the 08-09 division of revenue, you might want to look at this. Just in trying to compel people to be doing things within the framework of IGPM. It is right here already as a practice for example. But secondly, if you look for the other sections that relates to infrastructure issues, again, here in the division of revenue, so is that it might be a small Bible, people must respect. Whether you call it a Quran or a Bible, but it must be respected by all in family. Now, yeah, here it is. It's before this one.
But this is about the infrastructure. Again, there are issues that relate to doing things in line with IGCs, etc., service level agreements, and so on and so on. Now, where is my favorite clause now for Koni? IGP, IPG, yeah, level 2. Somebody else has decided not to. Oh, but I'll come back to it. Then the next thing I think we need to do, I'm happy with the issues you are raising there, PLG. Firstly, I think part of what we need to do ourselves, the day we meet with the host cities, just to focus on the issue of social raising of people always speaking poverty. I think you are raising an interesting issue which you must always be mindful of. These increases of the time. Because the dedicated funding for the Indian issue, there is dedicated funding for Savia, there is dedicated funding for public transport infrastructure and systems. Here it is, 1.1 billion this financial year. 08-09 3.1 billion dedicated funds. And so any other thing, therefore, that municipalities would then do. And this is what we were told yesterday by Sport, that all of these things must be done on the basis of the specific by FIFA. And therefore, if you want to do any other additional things, there must be from your own body. Sometimes we think that the issues you are raising are much more critical there. There can't be any other overruns, if you like. Maybe overruns would be on the basis of the prices, imported building materials, etc. But then the bottom line is that there is dedicated funding for almost for everything that we have here. So we must be able to watch these budgets very carefully. The issues of the surcharges, etc., etc., that have been done. But then one of the things that we must do together with KPLG is, again, they are raising an interesting thing on this school infrastructure. The first branch of funding is the infrastructure grant, infrastructure grant fund, which must benefit education, health, and roads. Now, I'm not sure what's going on in government. It's a matter that we might want to look at. But secondly, you raise again up in interesting issues in terms of need. And therefore, to what extent does need speak to the infrastructure grant to province? We must find a way of engaging. And we will be going to municipalities with yourself. Because part of the problem here, which I think we do criticize ourselves on, sometimes municipalities use discretion in terms of in respect of their MIG. It's a continual grant, and yet they use their own discretion. They use most of it on other priorities that are set. In fact, they don't even follow the formula. Sanitation, roads, sporting facilities, etc., they don't even follow that one. It's a matter that surely we must find a way of ending ourselves when we go to municipalities. Let's then say to the FSC, it would be nice to go back and do some supplementary recommendation on the issue that they are raising from this issue that they are saying KPLG agrees with this finding, but is concerned that the FSC does not make any recommendations on how to address this issue of municipal from the municipal funding perspective. But still, even before that, you see, there's a matter that we are dealing with already with provincial treasuries and with departments of local governments in province. In the budget of municipality, there's an item called general expenses. Essentially, what is contained there? Before you even go this route, let's also unpack this question. You might find there is maintenance somewhere there, or there are some other thoughts that are taking away the intelligence. It's a matter that that must be dealt with. The operational budget is huge, but what does it consist of? Let's also deal with those matters. I know my man from Sarga is already planning to respond to this one. She's not going to respond to this one. She's going to speak. But then let's also say, in respect of the low fiscal capacity in municipalities, some ongoing work must be done, right? Because also we are raising this sharply with GDSA, just to deal with this thing of the what they call market trade. In other words, how do we deal with revenue for such municipalities? It's a very useful. In other words, whilst the FFC is looking at further work here, etc., etc., but also the GDSA from our side, we are on an ongoing engagement with them just to be able to ensure that these municipalities whose fiscal capacity is low are given a surplus of a revenue base, so that they also must not rely very much on the conditional grants and grants. But we can also tell you that we are happy with one very poor municipality. We were saying when we were there, if we were yourselves, we might want to give them a Vuna Award, Mushaweng. Mushaweng municipality in the Northern Cape. We were happy with the kind of budget they have. Their capital budget is higher than the operational budget. It's a very poor municipality. And yet, it was interesting to note this useful kind of attitude. They had started from about 5 staff members, therefore about 44. But ourselves as a committee were happy with the way that the capital budget was much higher than the operational budget. And this is what we're trying to encourage other municipalities to do. And so working together with yourselves and provincial treasury, to say national treasury and provincial treasuries and local government departments and provinces, I think we will be able to crack this one. We've got to ensure that the capital budget really is much more. But part of the question we are raising, especially for those municipalities whose capital budget is much lower than the operational, is exactly what are you paying people to do if we're not able to see service delivered? Because there is this big problem of the salary scheme that is much, much bigger in the operational budget. And we thank you again for this useful input again. Our so-called is agitated to differ with me.
Yes, Chairman, my correct, I think it was that the one head workshop for ICT for the department. I think that it would be useful for UT. I think that it would be useful for them. Just to evaluate if if the department are really not because of taking into account the ICT account. Because this committee and the committee, the research committee on local services, if you have the experience, for instance, if they do, the person was making an example about Tesco, for instance, will go around. Of course, I agree with the answer that there is an improvement. But where are we coming from? We're coming from a situation where a municipality would say, well, we don't know these people. We're seeing them for the first time, but gradually they're beginning to know one another. But it would be a useful result to have a little process of some kind, how far they have family, what they have seen, but also with
with regard to transport, I think that if we say we increase your equity of share from for the province, in order for them to do to maintain it for transport. The reality is that the province is or municipality prioritize deficit or equity deficit is discretion to prioritize other things. I'm not sure that this is difficult and possible to kind of reinvent so that if the grant is for maintenance, you know that people are going to be able to account for that. It is very clearly what the statement is. But the other thing is around it. Maybe it would be useful for us just to get the the policy around. Because what we have heard from the UCL, especially from the department, provincial department of housing, for instance, is that NIC does not take into account their infrastructure for housing development. Now, we see there's a kind of disadvantage. Does NIC, for instance, cover I think that it would be useful for us to understand that here we are because the people, for instance, if you ask them why 2000 or 1994 we're getting 15,000 for an RCC house, today we're getting 60 something, that is still the same house. There's no article that is written, so they mention some of them. So I'm saying that it would be useful then to understand how that needs to be into that kind of thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Attempts to solve DPMG, your position.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think certainly we'll take some of the recommendations and we'll see how we can apply ourselves to some of those. So I think that's one of the angle points. Referring, for example, years of recommendation around making an assessment of our department's participation in the hiring process. And then, of course, there's a number of other recommendations also made by the chairperson earlier about amendments that we may want to propose to broaden the effect of censoring participation in the IFC process. I'm saying, I think we can take those recommendations. Just I think maybe to assist the member and committee with respect to the very last question that was posed in respect of vegan housing. I think we are pleased to inform the committee that this matter of the alignment between housing, resources, funds for housing and financial resources, this matter has formally addressed between a joint remit of housing and local government. So as the system really is a formal process between the two departments of trying to find greater solutions to ensure greater complementarity. And then we're quite happy to come to the committee and at the later point to report on how we think we can find greater synergy and complementarity to get the benefits of the system. I think those would be the kind of final comments. I'm not sure if anyone else with your permission, I know we're out on time. Okay, no, that's fine, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm sure. there are many issues that have been put on your table on which you've been working on an ongoing basis. But we thank you very much for your presentation. We will be now be moving over to organize local government, their input on the recommendations of the efforts. Yeah, DPLT, yeah, relief.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable member of this committee, good afternoon. And all the members in the House, both ladies, both women's members, so we just want to say halala to our fans, halala. Okay, Chairperson, thank you very much. I'm just going to be brief, Chairperson. In terms of obtaining legal effects of 2010 World Cup, while Canada supports the recommendation of Arab states to locate restricting legal effects in the end of voting season, Chairperson, and Canada's results should be limited to the voting season, I think it was very clear to say that 2010 is less than, and it's also an African event. But in terms of the funding of the legal effects, Chairperson, as Canada, we share the same sentiment with the PLC, say that it should not be exclusively funded from municipal budget, as the benefit has not yet been costed. So we agree with the case in that regard. In terms of national school nutrition programs, we support that the budget allocation for the NSNP in primary should be increased in order to cover learners that are not presently covered. In terms of financing school infrastructure and education, we support the recommendation regarding the coordination of planning of our provincial entities in the study. We need to make sure that when the school is built, there is also location infrastructure to make sure that there is no isolation. In terms of transport, we support that we say that the review of impending provincial infrastructure programs should consider provincial expenses. But Chairperson, in terms of municipal roads, we believe that the roads are very important for municipalities, particularly in the context of local economic development. And we are saying that maybe there is a need for MFC just to assess whether the local government establishment code is currently under India in some issues that have not been yet finalized. Maybe whether this definition can be extended to include other things, particularly municipal roads, because we believe that they are very important from a public benefit point of view. Therefore, there is an argument saying that the roads also need to be subsidized. But I think we also assist in terms of maintenance. In terms of the review of financing housing vendors, Canada supports the process for the collection of data on homelessness needed in the housing homeless part of the institution. But we are saying that the definition of homelessness needs to be clarified. In terms of practical implications of the redemarcation of provincial boundaries, Canada supports the recommendation. But we are also saying that they are both provincial and local government share homelessness by taking into account the changes in revised data from CSSA, resulting from the limitation demarcated boundary from municipalities. But we are also agreeing that the changes of the boundary of sub-national authorities should be aligned with the financial year to make sure that there is no interaction in terms of the planning and the budget of municipalities. Lastly, Chairperson, SALGA supports the adoption of checklists and manual tools for use in the assessment of the functionship. We think that that manual is assist in terms of when one tier of government wants to shift the function to another tier of government, that manual is assist in terms of making sure that there are certain issues that have been taken into account to avoid situations where we find that the function has been shifted. Even though the file has also been shifted, but we find that the cost of rendering that function is more than what is being transferred. So, as a result, we find that that particular function is left as underfunded budget. So we believe that this model is that this in terms of dealing with those particular issues. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Any additions?
Chairperson, the only outstanding issue that would like to make it everyone here is the same issue of roads. That the 5 years that even on the last time Chairman made the presentation, that is maintenance should be part of the section of need allocation. So we think on the issue of the roads, as far as we understand that this is the road check couplers in all the municipal ICTs. But the point of contention here is that the issue of the reclassification of roads and the re-demarcation of roads, because provincial roads and local roads cut across municipal areas. So it then becomes very difficult that even when we speak to maintenance, we think it should form part of the mix allocation for municipal roads. But we found that major roads that pass through municipalities are provincial roads. So we need the reclassification of those roads and the re-demarcation, so that there should be a holistic approach to be addressed. But the last thing is the issue of the housing. We're just discussing that the issue of infrastructure for the housing. And we say either make allocation should ever go in line or align with the housing process that the municipalities have already reflected for the next 10 years, so that those housing programs should commence as planned. Unlike saying, because now in terms of the housing policy, it's only the infrastructure that's going to be put there. Infrastructure must provide infrastructure. If that infrastructure is not catered for by need, there won't be any housing properly constructed in the future.
Thank you. But rather short and sweet. Let's interact with the presentation. Please come on board.
Chair, on page 1 last footstop. Travis put the budget allocation for the NSNP primary school to increase in order to cover learners that are not presently covered. I'd like to elaborate on this, Chair. There's nothing sort of how should be done if learners that are presently not covered, is it age or what is it? And then, Chair, on page 2, the first slide, finding a road transport infrastructure. If I understand it correctly, if I understand correctly what Tom is saying here is that these services should be added on to other services of the municipality. And if I have said it correctly, then it raises a serious concern that this committee has traveled to many municipalities in the last few weeks where the municipalities, a lot of them can't do what they supposed to do as far as serving the community. We can just elaborate on that, thank you.
Thank you. Any other question? Last question.
I think the issue of the classification of roads is critical. But part of the problem that we have with municipalities in respect of their funding is the fact that while municipalities would claim poverty, there are some cases where municipalities are investing money. When in fact that money should be employed immediately to address some of these issues, maintenance, road construction is happening. Now, the MFMA is clear in respect of that. But one, you need to consult the Minister of Finance and the Minister of TPLG. But number two, you do that only when you do not need this money immediately. I'm raising this because it is a problem. Whilst all people are pleading poverty from municipality, I really sympathize with that. The problem is that municipalities themselves are also not responsible. They take money to the market. For instance, I'm sitting here now, I was given a big file by one mayor in one municipality, I'm not going to mention now, who was asking for more money. You know, people would want to canvass us. This municipality needs 46 million rand. They have invested 52 million rand.
sitting in the market. How do you then deal with the immediate problem, especially in the context of the MSMA, that says you should only invest when tax is not needed at the time? They could have used the 46 and the 6 million that is then the name can be invested in terms of the MSMA. So there's always a certain disparity. I'm saying this so that as Sarah is raising this issue, earlier I was raising the issue of general expenses in the budget. And many items where money is hidden. For instance, part of the problem that we have now, MFMA has outlawed discretionary funds. And yet you still have discretionary funds for mayor. It's got a new name, by the way, it's not discretionary funds. It's special projects in the mayor's office. It has to do with youth, this and that, women, disability and that. I mean, it's wrong still. What does that do? Again, it compromises money which must be targeted for something else, maintenance and building of roads in Uden. So then we need to find a way of doing all of these things properly, just to be able to ensure that the funds, every cent that you get as a municipality, your own revenue, equitable share, conditional grants, is all about service delivery, nothing else. And yet when you look at the budget, skewed against service delivery. So that's saying these are some of the matters that we need to be very smart on, firm on, especially as Saroga. One municipality we can tell you now. You have TPLG has sent out some guidelines in terms of the unity councillor remuneration. Guidelines are very clear. Councillors decide to go for the highest notch. Yes, they don't have the capacity to raise their own revenue to supplement. And what effect did that have? Firstly, it had an effect on the municipality, suspending employment of key staff that must perform activities that relate to services. In other words, compromising service delivery. And I'm saying this because these are some of the things as we are dealing with these recommendations that we must not be trying to be emotional about, but try and resolve. Because part of the money is in the system already. People are talking about more money from the national fiscal, etc. There's money already in the system in municipalities. The problem is that priorities are not done appropriately. When we're dealing with the provincial treasuries, funds, and the departments of local government in respect of municipal budget, priorities do not talk to budget properly, and so on and so on. And so how do you deal with those things? Issues of deep wish list. Thank you very much.
You want to follow
up? I just want to follow up on what the chairperson said, that the municipalities and finance are the top-notch salaries and wages. And I'd like to bring it to Sarah's attention that a lot of the municipalities' salaries and wages are 50%, 6% of the equitable expenditure. That's rather high, and I think it's. And they complain that they can't deliver when they're earning salaries like that in teachers.
Okay, so no other questions. Let's have Sarah respond. Thank you, Chairperson. In relation to question number one, from the Honorable Councillor, in terms of the increase in order to cover land that are not presently covered, I think here we are getting to the school learners who, when they need that particular school, where they were receiving this particular support, when they graduate, they move, for example, if they are not satisfied, they move to another school. We are saying they should be covered. or when it happens, they think so. They were part of that particular problem. So they are saying, when they move to another school, they need to continue to think so. It could be that certain, but it could also mean that the program should also probably take into account the movement of learners. In terms of question number two, certain, I just wanted to get love from honorable member. Is the question related to the bullet number three? I did not hear that.
Yes, it is. The last one starting with the need to access. Assess whether the services covered under local government can be extended to roads, and I have that concern with it.
Thank you. I think Mr. Rogerson here says that, well, currently the exemption cover only this service that has been listed here, but we are saying, particularly in terms of the road, because it is our view that roads are very important for municipality. Maybe they need to be included so that they are subsidized. Because we believe that from the public point of view, they are viewed as very important, particularly from the context of local economic development. So we are saying maybe they should assess whether it could be appropriate to include some of these things that we believe that they are very important from the public. Thank you, sir. Yeah, I think number three was more or less a comment, and I just want to highlight the fact that we have noted those, and some of the things that we have raised, we are aware of them, and we are trying to also deal with the particular issue around the higher salaries of municipalities and the issues around upper limits on cultural remuneration. But we also look at the issues around the general expense. Because mainly we look at the budget, it's not exactly that under general expense, these are the issues. So it's just general expense, and often you find a huge figure there. So we'll definitely look at that when we do our budget analysis. I'm not sure whether my... I thought I should perhaps respond. It might not necessarily be a response, but reflect on the comments that you have made. Very interesting. But they are not new. They are not new. As far as we just came in April, late April, out of the National Conference, where we were honest with ourselves as organized local government and as municipalities and state, and identify what are the areas that are currently challenges for us. And in those challenges, how much is due to our own faults or our own internal systems trying to respond to issues? How much are we at fault with them? So we've gone through that process to identify what the challenges are. And there were clear resolutions that were made by that national conference. And last week, as Councillor Molokwane indicated, our National Executive Committee met and looked at those particular resolutions in detail and came up with a structure for SAUGA over the next 5 years, 2007 up to 2012. And the issues that you are raising, as I'm saying, it's not new. We are well aware of them. And we have now put identified activities to respond. And we're now in the process of putting systems in place internally so that we are able to respond to those particular issues and assist municipalities as and when needed. So I thought it just indicates you that we not like we try to turn a blind eye, but we are at work looking at the issue. The second one that you're raising, and it's specifically around the council remuneration one, I found it very interesting because the system for council remuneration provides for a scenario where it's not left for the municipality to determine its own salary. It doesn't stop it.
The process starts with the minister determining the upper limit, and the municipality will then look at those figures as proposed by the minister. It will look at its affordability, firstly, and secondly, whether it is budgeted accordingly. So those are two requirements that they must fulfill. They will then resolve, looking at those particular two areas, and make that proposal to the NEC, who must then concur. So it doesn't end with the municipality deciding. So it means it's still left to the NEC to come back and say, you were supposed to show that one, it's affordable. You did not. Two, you were supposed to show that you budgeted accordingly. You have not done it. So it doesn't stop with the municipality deciding. And there are particular areas that should be taken into account. But one would be interested to hear the examples that are made, how true they are, and then we can deal with them accordingly. Thank you.
Very true and practical Mumam and follow that up in Eastern Cape. Pray. You can also follow that up. And he's also raising his problem.
Jay, I'm probably going to say something that's going to make some people rethink. If we come back to page 2, the third bullet, where the presenter says, this is what they want to do. My question basically is, and I'm going to have to put it very bluntly, is that the municipalities cannot cope with extra work because they can't cope with what they've got. And then, Jay, secondly, and I mean this with no prejudice whatsoever, that this presentation is not very informative. It doesn't cover certain issues and it doesn't add weight to it. Thank you.
No. The councillor on the one of his that they've got brand new leadership in terms of their own structures. And so this is a draft response. Not comprehensive, but broadly speaking, if you did listen to them, they did. In fact, the presenters would say that they are in broad agreement with what GPS was saying. But as a draft, basically the issues are not well researched. They did say they would be coming back and giving us a broader, because they always do, by the way, to that kind of thing, but let's also thank them for having responded. And what clearly what I'm hearing, which is very useful, is that there is a huge challenge of trying to give them structures and everything, especially after their conferences, etc., etc. They're putting in place almost everything. Bottom line is that under those demanding challenges, they've been able to produce what they've produced. This is very much useful for us to digest. Would be able to engage. I mean, look, part of your, I mean, these matters are not really finalized now. We will be finalizing this in March next year. This is 08-09 Division of Revenue. But as I'm saying, I'm happy to hear the commitment coming from SALGA. That's in the set of the issues I was raising, which we correct, are not brand new. But also what we need to do, which we shall be doing ourselves, is to invite yourselves as we go to municipalities, in other words, your provincial structure. Precisely because we do want to be all under one roof. KPLG National Treasury, Provincial Treasury, KPLG Province, and SALGA Provincial, as we speak to each municipality. Because part of what we must do also as we engage is also to see how best do we put in place systems and structures that are system. And this is what we were doing in the Eastern Cape about 3 years ago. When we went there, our attitude was not oversight if you like, was how best do we assist now the municipalities. For instance, part of what we were doing, as we had the TME to have GPLG, provincial local government, etc., etc. There's SAGA before we said there's different case. Who was sitting with some 186 million, which is a national department. because we had somebody from GPLG who said, no, no, you're not able to get your money because you have not submitted a report when the disaster was declared. And Gaddafi was able to give a report immediately. And the gentleman from GPLG was immediately working on ensuring that money was released from National for it to start rising. And this is what GMD was also saying in respect of EVCOM. When they were saying, no, no, we've got money now to electrify. In other words, what we will be doing together with Kwani now here is to write letters back to those municipalities and say, how far has everybody started implementing the commitments that have been made? So people were saying, on the 22 of July, at 10 o'clock, we're having a meeting with this municipality to address all their needs of electricity, etc. So those are the kinds of meetings we were having in the same thing. Now, moving them forward, we shall be doing the same things in other municipalities with all of ourselves. So I was just saying, one that is the challenge facing all of us. We're also throwing the challenge back to our own financial issues. Just to go back and do some supplementary recommendations. Again, it's also in preparation for our discussion further in the division of revenue bill. I've got a love letter here that says I must announce that we are planning a trip to the 15th on the 10th to the 14th of September. And that trip has to do with a very big thing we're talking about, meeting with some municipalities. This problem that we're talking about, we will be identifying those municipalities. In other words, what we might want to do there is to align this program with a program. They have a program already in the province, in the first state, where the provincial portfolio committee of finance and local government are also meeting with the municipalities. Now, we don't want to repeat that program in terms of calling the same municipalities. Then let's find a way of just pulling this program together so that all of us are under one roof just to deal with some of the problems we've seen ourselves in that province. Then on the 18th to the 21st, when some of our colleagues go to the People's Assembly, we will be going to some municipalities in this province. There are some problems that we've got to deal with. Again, we shall send the National Treasury, Provincial Treasury, TPLG, etc., etc., would be part of that engagement. Now, what we will then do in respect of these recommendations is there's got to be ongoing engagement at the level of provinces. It would be nice to have Provincial Salga participating in the provinces again, because there must be the same public hearings in different provinces, so that we are better able to get and grasp the issues that must be dealt with at that level. Can I attend the meeting? Is anybody who has a matter of life and death to say before we go? Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.